It is game week, 4 days away from the kickoff of high school football here on Prep Sports Now. I am Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. We're presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety, which reminds you to buckle up, don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, make it safely to your next destination. And also Wingstop, the wing experts, open at 6 Vegas locations till midnight. Friday night, Brewer, like I said, it's coming. High school football, crazy that it's here. Like I said, game week, our first game week of many. And you look at the slate, and what do you know? What stands out? Of course, there's three big games. It kind of fits with a story that I think ran today for me, where I said, you know, we usually think that there are two dynasties here locally, Liberty and Bishop Gorman, but our review is getting dangerously close if they aren't already in it. And those are the three teams in the big games. You have Liberty going to Hawaii. You have Gorman playing Chandler. And then the big local game, of course, Arborview and Desert Pines, which you've really looked forward to all offseason.
Yeah, that's kind of been the game I've been looking at. Up until just this week, I was kind of torn on who I was going to pick. One of the coaches made a good comparison for me, so I can't take credit for it, but it kind of reminds me of Nebraska-Miami back in the day, right? You had Miami, they were quick, they got the ball in space, they had a little swagger to them, and then you had just Nebraska, big, powerful, they ran their system, they were going to get at you, they were going to go downhill. So it's kind of speed versus power is kind of what this reminds me of a little.
Yeah, I think maybe you sold me on that eventually. I could see it from the football standpoint.
I'm glad because initially you were rolling your eyes at me.
Well, my first reaction was that both those schools were so kind of entrenched, and they had when they got in their games, they were known for like several years as they were the best programs, right? And I don't think – I mean, Desert Pines, what they did last year was great, but I don't think they're ready to be put – on the level that Arborview has proven themselves since like 2010, 2011. Not that they can't get there.
Yeah.
One year is not everything.
And that goes back to why Desert Pines wanted the game. You know, they want a chance to prove that they're as good as one of the, you know, top four, three teams in town. And, you know, when you're talking about programs year in and year out who have established themselves here, you know, I think you've got Centennial, Arbor, Liberty, you know, Palo, of course, Gorman, of course. Those are five teams year in and year out. They win a lot of games. You know, and then you got other teams that are consistently really good as well. Green Valley has always been good, right? In the last 5 years since, you know, basic, you know, regional semifinals last year. Moapa Valley. If you just look at our top 10, every team in there has had a good run. So for Desert Pines, an opportunity to prove themselves. However, it's not the Desert Pines team we thought we'd see in the game. Samuel Patazzi tore his ACL in the offseason. He won't be back for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Of course, he's a big offensive tackle, major scholarship offers. And then just last Friday, scrimmage against Desert Oasis, Anthony Smith, my guy, the defensive end, who Rivals.com says is the number one recruit in Nevada for this graduating class. Knee injury. To be determined how long he's out, but he definitely won't play against Arborview. Could be a season ender, could be until the playoffs, could be a month. We'll find out as he goes through tests, but he won't be there against Arborview, and that's primarily why I picked the Aggies. I was looking forward to Anthony Smith going at Keenan King all night. Two Division I guys, King on the offensive line, Smith on the defensive line, and just a great ball game back and forth. But I think without those two hogs up front, Patassi and Smith, I think Arborview, which is great in the trenches, just dominates up front and wears them out. Arborview will have more players as the time goes on. The Heat, I think the Aggies win the game.
Yeah, those injuries were devastating. You hate to hear about that, especially for kids that had so much to look forward to this year. What I was actually looking forward to was calling you out for picking Arborview, since you hyped Desert Oasis all offseason, act like you were going to pick them. But I do kind of understand your reasoning with the injuries. Still, to go from probably picking Desert Pines to picking Arborview by 12 points based on injuries, I still think the story doesn't completely add up. But we'll let it slide. It's the first week.
I mean, I love Desert Pines. I was going to put them number two in the preseason top 10. We're talking, you know, a team, Isaiah Morse.
Number two above Liberty?
I was thinking about it. Seriously.
Yeah, that's really
interesting. I've you know me. If I get on a team like Vegas back in the day, I drink the juice, and I just don't see anything wrong. But, you're talking, you know, Vasa Hansel, Trevor Nafoa, Natron Naki. I mean, great high school football players. You know, my guy Isaiah Morris. Bro, if you were at that state game and you saw that kid get off, I mean, that kid could play.
Well, I figured. I made the phone call every week last year, and it'd be like, oh, Isaiah, 250 yards this week. Oh, this week, only 180.
You know,
some ridiculous games.
Interested to see how Grayson develops as a quarterback. You know, we saw glimpses of him being great last year, passed for 2,200 yards, 27 touchdowns. Now he's going to face, you know, his most significant test, his chance to get good film week one. You know, if he could sling the ball around, the Randall Grimes kid transferred in from Sierra Vista, if they could sling the ball around a little bit, because they're not going to be able to run through Arborview. They're going to have to go around them. You know, get the ball to Morris in space. Get the ball up high to Grimes. I'm really looking forward to the matchup in the secondary, because Arborview's got those good safeties against Randall Grimes. Noah Nochi. Spell the last name for me, Case, for Noah.
Well, I don't have it in front of
me. N-O-C-E. What's it sound like? Noach?
Nochi?
Well, he says it.
It's, I would just not guess that's how it is. I'm not saying it's
maybe
right.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong, because he said it to me, and it was...
Nosi?
Whatever it is, Noah, right?
Yeah.
But then they've got the Alex Sims kid, the DB, that's got the Southern Utah offer. So those two DBs getting a chance to go against the Grimes kid. And how do they contain Morris? I love Bishop Jones. Tore his ACL last year. He's back. He's got an offer, including from UNLV. He's going to get a chance to guard Morris on some screen passes. Going to be a great game. I just think when push comes to shove, Arborview wins it in the trenches.
Makes sense to me. I do say, to bridge the gap, I want to clarify and go back to that dynasty discussion. You list all the great teams that have done stuff, and I agree with you. When I said Bishop Gorman and Liberty are the two that stand out, I mean in the big division. Obviously, Moapa belongs in any conversation down low, and all those other schools you mentioned have done great things too. I just think in recent years, if you look at titles, I think it's Bishop Gorman and Liberty, and then Arborview is kind of the number three. Moapa Valley opens at Sierra Vista this week, which somewhat interesting game. You got to favor Moapa there, but to get to the two. Probably more competitive games, Gorman and Liberty, both with out-of-state opponents.
Yeah, let's talk Liberty first. Congratulations to them and where the program has gone. To go to Hawaii, what a major, major fundraising effort to get a full team of kids to go all the way to the islands to play a game. And what an experience. They're facing St. Louis High, which is a power in Honolulu. However, they're not the defending state champs. That's Milani, who Liberty plays next week at home. The game's at Aloha Stadium, right? There's college bowl games and college games there. What a cool experience for Liberty, and what a selling point for the program. Come to Liberty. We've won five straight region titles. We're taking road trips to Hawaii. We're playing all these cool out-of-state games. Remember, they played Hamilton the past 2 years as well. So Liberty kind of, you know, enhancing its resume as an overall program. And what a great opportunity to make a splash nationally. St. Louis and Milani, back-to-back weeks to open the season. Both teams ranked in the West. So if Liberty could go 2-0 or 1-1, they have a chance to be mentioned among the elite players. Looking forward to Ethan Dudeau, who, in my opinion, probably the best two-way player in town, the junior wide receiver DB. How has the Oblad kid progressed? And, you know, of course, up front, big Liberty, big up front.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I like what Liberty has been saying about this, and they've made it, they have not tried to hide it. They haven't been shy about it. And I think 95% of coaches would be like, oh, we're just taking it one game at a time. This is a great opportunity, but we don't care about anything else. No, you know what? Liberty is saying Rich Morocco and our players, and this is great preparation for if we see Bishop Gorman down the road. If we get to reach our goals, we're going to see Gorman eventually, and these two teams are on Gorman's level. So that's something they're already looking forward to, and I like that. I think that if you're at the state that Liberty's program is in, that's a smart thing to do. Say, the team that we're gunning for, We need something that's going to get us ready for that. And, you know, that's not to disparage anyone locally, but these teams are a little bit more built up, I guess, nationally, and this could be good preparation from that perspective.
And scrimmages last Friday, Gorman and Liberty scrimmaged. Usually local teams don't want to play Gorman in anything except for chess. And Liberty wanted the challenge to get ready for their two big Hawaii games. They had some good plays and some bad plays against Gorman, but Liberty's a team case that solid number two in town, and we expect great things for them. Like I said last week, I think Liberty is head and shoulders the best team in the Sunrise.
Yeah, I do think Liberty is way ahead of everyone. It's just crazy when you look at all that they have back. There's so many recognizable names on just about every unit, so it'll be interesting to see week by week who stands out for the Patriots.
I absolutely agree with you, my friend.
All right, so Bishop Gorman, the first game of the Kenny Sanchez era. They're hosting Chandler from Arizona, who I believe they played before, maybe. One of these last year. Someone's played Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler is the defending Arizona State champs. They're rated number three nationally. Gorman rated number four. Let the big dogs eat.
Three versus four. I didn't even know that. Should have done my research on this game.
A lot of people say that this is Gorman's toughest game in its national championship defense. Of course, Gorman schedules a who's who of out-of-state opponents. They open Saturday against Chandler. 6 days later, they're in Bingham, the Salt Lake area of Utah, for another tough game. And then they travel to Seattle. So three tough games for Gorman to open the season. But Chandler and its athletes are clearly going to present a problem. And for me, I worry about the Gorman defense. They lose Fertitta. They lose Otukola. The heavy hitters. It's going to be a great game. I think Gorman could score with anybody, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I assume they would probably lose one or even two of these first three games, but I didn't want to pick against them at home. I guess I didn't realize just how much Chandler has coming back. It sounds like they have a lot that could challenge that maybe a little bit inexperienced defense, at least defensive backfield. I know they have a lot of guys back up front.
Yeah, did you remember when Mountain Point beat Gorman 2 years ago? It was the Cunningham year. Cunningham was just awful in the first game.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so they had a sophomore tailback who first play of the game took it to the house. That kid, who's now a major Division I recruit, last name Lucas, is the starting tailback for Chandler.
Ah, so he won't be a sophomore back then?
He won't be phased, yeah. And he's Chase Lucas. He's 5'11", 170, scholarship offers, Arizona, Arizona State, Cal, Colorado, Louisville, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Oregon State, Texas, UCLA, Utah, Washington, Washington State. So, yeah, he's pretty good.
Okay. That game is on Saturday, correct?
Saturday, ESPN.
ESPN on Saturday. Always love seeing local high school football represented on Saturday.
Are you going to watch? Or just DVR?
Well, I have that I have my biggest fantasy football draft of the year is Saturday night in a league that you left me all alone in.
Oh, is it so Saturday night?
I probably won't be watching too focused. I got to actually focus on this draft.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't have been able to draft either way because I would have been at the Gorman game.
It might not be at night. It could be in the afternoon, but for some reason I was thinking it was evening.
Okay. Wow.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
I think if you were drafting locally – I don't think we could ever do this. It'd be impossible. But if you were having a local high school football fantasy draft, is Tate Martell the easy first pick, or is there some running back I'm forgetting about?
Well, it depends on how the scoring is.
But you told me the kid stats when he committed to Texas A&M, which I think makes a lot of sense. Congratulations on that earlier in the week or last week. You said he had, it was like 45 touchdowns and two interceptions,
yeah,
and eight gazillion yards.
40 and two, yeah. He completed like 70. I'm trying to pull up the stats right now, but he completed like 70 some percent of his passes for 40 touchdowns and whatever amount of yards. So it was pretty impressive first season for Tate Martell.
I guess the only other person I could think maybe in the conversation, Isaiah Morris. Gorman has a lot of running backs that they use, right? So it's probably not going to be a Gorman running back first overall because they got like three different guys.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is how many minutes are you going to get out of Martell later in the year? Because when the playoffs come, he might be playing a half against Durango.
All right, well, you're the expert. Tell me, who am I forgetting about? Hypothetically, I mean, if we're going to first overall pick, well, is it Tate Martell or Isaiah Morris?
Well, see, here's the deal. In fantasy sports, you want guys who are going to get reps, right?
Okay, and running, we all know that the scoring is slanted a little bit towards a running back. So if you have a running back that's going to get all kinds of workload, like a Herman Gray workload from last year. I don't think Arbor's going to have a guy like that this year.
What about R.J. Hubbard? Or is he a wide receiver?
He's a first-rounder, for sure. I don't know if he's a first overall.
Well, Martell completed 124 of 200 passes last year, 2,500 yards, 40 touchdowns, just two interceptions.
And that's without the rushing yards. So I think get at us with this. This is kind of an interesting conversation that we had no idea we were going to talk about. But I think that the two guys that stand out are Isaiah Morris and Tate Martell. If you're drafting a fantasy football team based on
what about Tyjon Lindsey? 15 touchdowns last year.
He's a first rounder too, but okay. I don't think you can match. Like Isaiah Morris is probably going to have. What do you think he's going to average in a game? He's going to average easily over 100 yards.
You know who the first pick should be?
Who?
Elijah Hicks. Because they have absolutely nothing besides Elijah Hicks, and he should touch the ball 30 times a game. 10 touchdowns as a freshman.
There you go. I knew I was forgetting about someone. He was pretty electric as a freshman too. There you go. Well, maybe we'll think about this next week. Maybe we should. I've said this before. We should incorporate some kind of fantasy
league where we each get five, or we get two as dad and Lake Tahoe guy to get a team, and Coach Earl, and now we got a five team league.
Yeah, I think it might work better like week to week, but
week to week. You're talking like a FanDuel type of thing.
Yeah, and you can only pick, like you can't have your team every week be Tate Martell, Isaiah Morris, Elijah Hicks, and Tyjon Lindsey.
Okay, let me ask you this: say we're a sports book, what do you put the total of the Gorman Chandler game? Because I'm fairly convinced that Gorman's going to score every time it gets the ball.
Is Chandler better offensively than defensively?
Chandler put up like 54 points last week. They won, I think, 54-7.
But were they playing? Oh, were they playing just another Arizona team?
They played. Let me look it up here.
I feel like it's tough because a lot of these games, I feel like are lower scoring. A lot of the big national games. Although I guess I could be wrong. I'm looking back last year, 43-42 against Centennial for Gorman.
That's how I think the game's going to go. Where it's just going to be an absolute. Whoever scores last.
I mean, you still can't post it that high.
The question
right?
is, does Kenny Sanchez go for two? Because remember how Tony went for two to beat.
Oh, I loved that.
Yeah,
that was good stuff. I mean,
they beat Pinnacle 56-10.
You still? I just don't think you can make a total that high. What are you thinking? You know better than me. Just
I was thinking in the 80s.
No, no. If you want to make that a $5 bet, I will take the under 80 right now.
Under 80?
Yes.
I mean, I literally think Gorman.
You know better than me, so you could be right. But there's no a total of 80. I think that's happened like twice ever in college football.
Well,
And
know.
They play longer.
The Lucas kid had one touch, against Pinnacle. One touch, 80 yards, a touchdown. Not bad.
All right. Well, mark me down for under 80.
And he had four catches for 38. Under 80, I'm gonna take over, but I don't want to go $5. It'd just be
okay.
Friendly.
Well, it'll just be a friendly wager over under 80. I've got the under. Anything else you want to mention?
I just feel like if Gorman's defense holds them to like 10 and they score a few times, that I'm gonna get a rash of stuff on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, I am with you that Gorman's defense probably isn't gonna be as good as last year, at least. Initially, but are they really so bad that they're going to be giving up?
Well, they still have still have Haskell Garrett pressuring the quarterback, and
he's
pretty good. Linebacker, they got the Akeem Okiki kid who's on our preseason team.
He made a ton of tackles last year,
and he plays with a little bit of an edge, which I like if he's under control. You know, the secondary they got Perry, who's committed to Arizona State, Bubba Bolden at safety, who. Has got, you know, an Oklahoma State offer, so we know he could play. But there's going to be a lot of new names. You know, Michael Garrity's first action, he missed all of last year. How's that guy going to do in game reps? But, you know, having one good DN, which the Haskell Garrett kid is, you could run to the other way and totally run around that guy, right?
I doubt the other side of their line's that weak.
No, I'm not saying they're that weak, but they're not as solid. I just, like I said, maybe Gorman's defense turns out to be great, and they give up 10 points, and everybody's like, Brewer, you're blind.
Also, on the defensive line, there's a huge difference between, and I remember he was a beast last year, but what, is he more of a pass rusher or more of a
I don't
stopper?
Know.
He's there's a big more, difference between the two.
Yeah, he's just more of a beast. He gets everything.
All right, well, I picked this game 36-24, so I picked 60 points.
And I
you
have
picked 45-37, 82 points.
I like it over. I think I need to bring two sheets of paper.
I was going to make the total like 64.
I would take over 64 for $5.
I'm not going to get. Now that I know what you think, I'm not going to give you 16 points. Well, you want to meet in the middle? We'll go 8 plus 72.
Over 72 for $5.
And I'll take the under.
I got the over. Let's make. I don't want to tie. Can we make it 71.5?
72 sounds like a number it could actually land on, football-wise, right?
Yeah.
I think 72 is important. I can't.
72. If we tie, we tie.
Yeah.
We're amongst friends.
We're moved into a new office this year, so we don't have a nice whiteboard to write our plays on, unfortunately. Yeah.
All right, next game, St. Louis, Liberty. Liberty at Aloha Stadium, the long journey. You've been on that plane before, right?
No, I've never been to Hawaii.
You've never been? Neither have I.
No.
I've been to Arizona once and L.A. a few times.
I'd love to go to Hawaii.
Well, you're a traveler. You have no kids. It's a freedom. I love Liberty. We're rooting for them, obviously, but I just don't see how you make that travel and win, especially with a team with players who aren't accustomed to that travel.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't actually concern me as much as maybe as it would for another team, because Liberty's got a lot of guys on this team from Hawaii. They got like 6 or 7 starters from Hawaii, I think.
I don't care about that. I don't care if they have 90 guys from Hawaii. We're talking, they live in Las Vegas. They're taking an airplane to Hawaii.
When do they get there? What's the travel
schedule? I don't have the agenda, but unless they're there right now, there's going to be an acclimation period.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a factor, but...
Plus, the kids' clocks are all out of whack from summer vacation.
Yeah, it's... That should be true for the other team, though, too. I'm not saying it's not a factor, but it's not the reason I'm not picking them. I just think St. Louis looks like maybe a step above Liberty.
What time?
As much as I hate saying that. I mean, St. Louis, like a top 50 team nationally. They won their first game last week by about 60 points or something against the best school in American Samoa, who I know produces a lot of NFL players. That's my scouting expertise.
Well, the game is at 7:30 at Aloha Stadium, so that's
7:30 our time.
It just says 7:30. I don't know if that's 10:30 our time, which means I would favor St. Louis as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's probably at 7:30 their time, wouldn't you think?
I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine.
All right, well, someone let
God,
us
God, we're
know.
Really full of information today, aren't we?
Well, we both have St. Louis. We know that. We'll jump to a next game. I guess this is the other one we were talking about. Arborview at Desert Pines. Very disappointed in you for not picking Desert Pines.
Well,
through.
I don't want to be... I want readers to know... I mean, I'm picking the best team, Arborview.
I think I should get, and I need it too, because I've lost a Brewer in the pick something like 3 or 4 years in a row. I know I've won once, but maybe only once ever. I think I should get double points if Arborview wins, because all summer I said you were crazy telling me Desert Pines could beat Arborview.
Well, I came to the light and I saw what I thought.
And I love Desert Pines. They're going to rack up wins in the D1A, but Arborview is not the D1A.
Well, they got to turn around quick, because they got Moapa Valley here in a few weeks as well.
Yeah, so it'll be a fun beginning of the season for Desert Pines. Unfortunately, I think they're going to have their second loss in a row.
All right, Duel in the Desert. We differ on this game. Cimarron against Cheyenne.
Yeah, I like that you made the joke that we're full of information. Pretty much why I took Cheyenne is because I looked at what both teams have coming back, and I was just more familiar with Cheyenne's players.
I can't dispute that. I just think that Cimarron's a large division team and Cheyenne's a down a level. And I just think that the number game favors Cimarron. Again, coin flip, I'll take the Spartans.
It was an extremely close game last year, for whatever that's worth. I think Cheyenne can get it done. Next game, another big local game, probably the second biggest, Palo Verde at Coronado.
I think that... Coronado's going to struggle a little bit getting its new offense implemented. Paolo is real strong defensively. Shantez Thomas, Cameron Toomer. And I think it's Palo Verde's game to win, and I think they do by double digits.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Coronado is further along than seems to be the consensus, and they come out and surprise Palo Verde. But just look at them on paper, I think Palo Verde is the better team and should get a win here.
All righty, next game, Centennial at Legacy. Centennial, I think this is a chance for them to get a good game against a good quality Legacy opponent who's got a returning quarterback, a great defensive end in Darian Shaw. But I just think the Bulldogs with Ramondre Stevenson running the ball, Greg Rogers up front, we'll see if the Evans kid is as good as he's been in the offseason. I like the Bulldogs to flex their muscles.
Man, I like this Legacy team a lot this year. I think I told you that and you weren't so sure. They just have so much coming back. Maybe they've just done a good job selling me at our media day with all that they have, but what a tough opening game. I really thought I was going to pick them no matter what in week one. Then I saw they were playing Centennial, and I can't quite pull the trigger. Like you said, Centennial is just one of those schools that's established, always great. So I think Legacy is going to keep it close, but Centennial wins in the end.
And I actually think Centennial doesn't have a chance to lose until they play Arbor, which would be the last week of the regular season.
Not even a chance?
Not even. And I think they – oh, you know what? I take that back. God, I think they play Liberty this year.
They play at Palo Verde and Liberty back-to-back weeks.
Oh, they beat Palo and they lose to Liberty.
And then at Canyon.
And I might pick them against Liberty.
You're just already counting Palo out that easily?
Centennial is better than Palo, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
We'll see. I don't know. They hadn't beat Palo in like 15 years or something until a couple years ago.
Yeah, we'll beat them again.
I think Legacy's going to keep it close.
Here's the game we differ on the most. Foothill at Desert Hills, Utah.
What a weird game to differ on the most since last week, out of nowhere, I decided to pick Foothill to win their division.
Yes.
But I don't see them winning week one. Desert Hills, every year, it's just like a free game. Whoever they play in Southern Nevada, they win. Do they ever lose to any of these teams? It sure doesn't seem like it. Last year, I might have picked Foothill in this game, and Foothill didn't score a point. So there's no way I'm making that mistake again. I just think Desert Hills as a program just really seems to hold over these Las Vegas teams. I think they're going to do it again, even if it's a little closer this year.
Well, they lost. They gave up 54 points last week in losing to Jordan of Utah.
Maybe Jordan's really good, though. We don't know.
Well, they can't be that good.
They could be. Who knows?
They could be, but I just don't see them that good. And don't let the 34 points fool you. They scored 28 of those in the fourth quarter, which means they scored against the twos. I think Foothill goes in there. Maybe it's close, but I think they get it done.
All right. I'd like to see it because, like I said, I think Desert Hills kind of terrorized teams around here. But we'll have to see. Next game, another out-of-state team taking on a perennial strong Henderson school. Green Valley is hosting Charter Oak. I know last year this was one of the best games of the year. I think Green Valley scored like in the final minute to win the game by 3 points or so. Do you expect another close game this year?
I do expect Green Valley to keep it competitive early, but I think Charter Oak gets its revenge. They beat the Gators. Interested to see how Green Valley looks. New look, obviously, with a new quarterback.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in you for not picking Green Valley here either. You've been so high on them. You're totally all in on Green Valley, but you can't pick them to beat Charter Oak again?
I'm not taking any risks early, Case.
All right. And then speaking of having so much information, do you have some inside intel on this game? Rancho at Gila Ridge. Taking Rancho, who hasn't won a game since some of their players weren't even in high school.
Yeah, Rancho's on a 29-game losing streak, but the Howard kid rushed for 1,000 yards last year. And I think the new coach has got a big offensive line. I think they're going to pound the rock. I know it's Rancho. I know people might think I'm crazy. But I think they're going to be able – I think they're going to be improved with Tom Pletch. And he tells me that he's confident that they could probably – that they're going to be competitive early in their first three games. So what the heck? Why not take them?
All right. The next game is Mojave at your Chaparral Cowboys.
Yeah. Richie Hernandez – Casey Acosta, the big three for Chaparral. Mojave has got the Fletcher kid back at tailback. I just don't think that's enough to face my three guys, and I'm taking the Cowboys of Chaparral, my alma mater. I apologize. I don't know who the running back is for Mojave that's coming back, and I even wrote their preview story.
Well, Mojave to me was just so unlucky last year. They lost all these close, crazy games they shouldn't have lost. They didn't make the playoffs. I just feel like they're going to be very desperate to atone for that. I know they lost quite a bit, but I just feel like some breaks are going to swing their way this year. And I don't even know that I think your comment was Chaparral's just the better team, has the better players. I'm not even sold on that. So that, with the knowledge that I think Mojave's going to be more disciplined this year and is not going to let games get away, I don't see them losing a week one. I've got the Rattlers.
All right.
Boulder City at Clark.
You know, I was impressed with Clark at Media Day. It seemed like the team was all in with each other, and that camaraderie led me to pick them. We're going to learn a lot about these teams after this week.
I'm going with Clark, too. They sold me as well, I guess. The banner game, Spring Valley at Bonanza. I remember when this was a pretty competitive game just a few years ago, but now it seems like Bonanza's program's really kind of gone down. Maybe don't have big numbers. Spring Valley is always there kind of in the middle. And right now it just looks like Spring Valley's a little bit ahead of where Bonanza is. So don't think you can really pick against the Grizzlies here.
I agree 100% with you. I think that Spring Valley is going to win this game again.
All right, Moapa Valley at Sierra Vista. We mentioned this one. I really like what John Foss has done at Sierra Vista. Won a playoff game last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, beat Chaparral, of course.
Bring it up! I forgot who they beat. But I think Moapa Valley is just too much.
I agree. I don't think R.J. Hubert is stopped by anybody.
All right, Durango at Desert Oasis. I've got Desert Oasis.
I have Desert Oasis, too. I heard that Dio actually looked good when they played Desert Pines. The Brad Talich touch. He's the guy.
That had to be confusing. Desert Blank versus Desert Pines.
In fact, you called Desert Pines Desert Oasis earlier.
I do that all the time.
I rolled with it.
I was writing a Desert Oasis story yesterday or 2 days ago. Whenever I was writing it, I kept calling them the Jaguars. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think there should only be one Desert team.
It's going to be interesting to see how Desert Oasis does this year. We'll soon learn some of their players, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
They got Brandon Flowers, I know, and Brandon Peterson.
You remember last week I made a plea to get some a spirit pack?
Yeah.
All I got to say is D.O. work, my man Brad Talich.
You got the spirit pack?
I haven't picked it up yet, but he's reserved it for me. And I don't care if I have to drive to California to pick it up.
All right.
Do work. Did you see their shirts?
I haven't.
I love slogans on these high school shirts. And theirs is D.O. work. Like Desert Oasis and Do, right?
I like it.
Work.
Somewhat clever.
Is that not creative?
It's pretty good.
Not like Sun Standout, right?
Might be even better.
Yeah. Hey, while we're here, about midway through the show, we are doing our athlete.
Way more than midway.
Way more? Okay. We are doing our athlete of the week this week. So, coaches, if you'd like to nominate somebody for the Wingstop Player of the Week, they get a T-shirt, a $50 gift card to Wingstop, and an article on LasVegasSun.com. And don't nominate R.J. Hubert or players we know. This is the underdog player of the week, somebody we haven't heard of before.
No one that made the preseason All-Sun team.
Exactly.
All right. Well, and I know those kids are going to be like fighting over those gift cards.
$50 gift cards. They're locked.
Based on our videos, like 75% of players' favorite place to eat is Wingstop.
They're locked up in my desk.
All right. Silverado at Shadow Ridge.
I picked Shadow. Two new coaches making their debut. Travis Foster versus Randall Cunningham. Yes, Randall Cunningham. But I think Randall's going to face some of the same problems that previous Silverado coaches have. Just not enough bodies right now, even though they got some move-ins.
This is another game where I feel like you know something I don't, because I just feel like Silverado should be better than Shadow Ridge. I feel like they should win this game.
Who's the best player going to be in the game?
Well, I guess you're trying to get me to say Dominic Wilson, but I don't know.
I'm trying
if that's
to
true.
Get you to say it.
I don't know if that's true. Silverado, look like they have some players.
They do. They got a few move-ins from Paolo and some other kids, but the truth of the matter is they're not going to, you know, it's
who's the best player in the game is going to be like the entire Silverado coaching staff because they all played in the NFL.
Wow. We'll see how they do. Friday Night Lights. Long haul to Shadow, too, baby.
That is a long haul. I've been up there before. Yep. See the horses, the Mustangs.
Yes.
Yuma Catholic at Faith Lutheran. Yuma Catholic, really a power from Arizona. So as much as I was tempted to pick Faith Lutheran, it's just hard to go against this team when you look at their records and it's like 12-2, 13-1, 14-0, 14-0. Seems like they never lose a game.
Yeah, good scheduling by Faith to get a quality opponent to open the season with.
Reviving the old Catholicism or Lutheran rivalry.
Yeah. The quarter. Case, you were creative, man. I tell you, I got to give you credit where credit is due.
And we're both Catholic, I guess, so we both picked Yuma Catholic.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Not biased, though. I really think Yuma Catholic wins this game, but I think Faith could come out with their heads up high if they keep it close and are competitive because it's a really good team.
I tell you what, and I love the Christian Marshall kid at tailback. He's a special player, and he's the reason why I think that Faith Lutheran is going to win that region or that league or whatever they call them.
Sunrise Mountain at Western.
Sunrise Mountain. This is believe in the purple, Case. Believe in the purple. Pookie Farmer, I'm telling you right now. Pookie. Pookie. He's big and my guy.
I don't have much more to add. I like Sunrise Mountain. Think they're going to be pretty decent this year, actually, for a change.
For the first time ever.
Yeah, that's what I meant, for a major change. All right, and then the last game, Pahrump Valley at Del Sol. I know if this was at Pahrump Valley, I'm pretty sure your pick would be switched.
Yeah. Listen, here's two teams that are pretty evenly matched. So I will say Del Sol because it's a home game.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Dragons. I think they might be a little bit better than the Trojans, but really close. Could go either way. A lot of games like that this week. I know in the past we've had week ones where I think one of the two of us is posted like losing records. Could happen again.
It's just like week one in the NFL. We have no idea.
Yeah, it should be fun. Well, hopefully we have some idea, but we'll find out. I think we'll be back on Tuesday next week.
No, Monday, right?
Monday,
okay. Right? Because Monday's not Labor Day. It's the following Monday.
I didn't want to give incorrect information. No. So Monday, we'll be back with Prep Sports Now. Thanks to Wingstop and the Nevada Department of Public Safety, and thanks to you for listening.